everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded March 24th, 2017. Here's episode 36 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are in Washington, D.C. It is 4:37 p.m. on Friday, March 24th. We were going to record on Thursday, March 23rd, but then we had to wait for the big reveal of something, and then the reveal got pushed back again. So then, all right, there's going to be something revealed at 3:30. And then it was like, it's not looking like 3:30, maybe 4. Nope, it got canceled. The big reveal, the big vote did not happen. So we were sitting in Washington, D.C. on a late Friday afternoon about to recap everything in the world of professional wrestling and presidential politics. I don't want to step all over your analogy, so I'm trying to just tease it right now.
Okay, yes. Well, first, this is it's day 63 of the Trump championship reign. This is the penultimate WrestleMania Sun edition of our podcast.
That's right. How many times do you think Michael Cole said that on Monday night?
But he got it right, didn't he?
He did get it right, but
lot of people don't. They think it means like the really important ultimate. No, it means the second to last.
Yes.
That's cool, though. But this week, you know, surprisingly only in the political sphere, you wrote an opinion piece.
I did write an opinion piece for Roll Call. It's called The Trump White House, A Modest Proposal. Since we've done this show, and since we've been working on our book, the analogy I've seen the most is 1984. The Trump administration is 1984. It's Big Brother. It's blah, 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 blah. My point is, no, you need discipline. And so if anyone's read A Modest Proposal by Jonathan Swift, and I'm assuming most people have not, they might know what the term means. And just read the article. It's there. It's on youmeetthemeverybody.com. It's on Roll Call. If you just search our name, my name in Roll Call, you will find it with some other op-eds that are wrestling related.
So, yes. This one is just eating babies related.
Pretty much. So last week, you had a great article in the city paper. This week, I said that the White House does not understand sarcasm in any way whatsoever. Also, stop being poor.
Yeah, we're doing good work out here. But this week, what you're teasing in the intro, this week's big show was the American Healthcare Act. That's what it's called, right?
That's right. The ACHA.
Yeah, that's it's lovely. So what we were talking about is basically this vote to replace and repeal part of Obamacare. That didn't happen. The bill just got pulled. So we'll see. Trump had an ultimatum that, you know, he was going to move on from healthcare if this didn't happen, and they didn't have the votes.
Once again, we are doing this on late Friday afternoon. By the time you're hearing this, things will have probably changed.
Yeah.
Before we're recording, Chris was saying, well, I can't wait for the tweet storm, which is a fair thing to wait for.
I'm excited for the morning.
By tomorrow morning, everything might be different.
Yes.
I don't think that's crazy to say in roughly 18 hours, we might be in a different path. But as of right now, the road to WrestleMania is very rocky. I think this is the biggest roadblock they've ever seen.
You know, and we are on the road to WrestleMania with only 9 days to go. And the big analogy that that came to me when we were brainstorming this morning was that if you don't watch the current product of WWE, this will make no sense.
No, it won't.
But it's fine because it's easy to follow along. There was a wrestler, Emma. Let's call her Evil Emma because that was kind of her gimmick. She had the big shades. She had like the cop aviators. She had shoulder pads like Legion of Doom. She looked like a badass. She was a badass. And then she got hurt. She was off TV. Then for about 57 weeks, they promoted the evolution of Emma into Emma Lena. Basically, All her Instagram pictures, her bikinis, like, she's got a hot bod. Look, she's not evil. She's hot. And they kept saying that was going to come, but she never debuted. They kept saying next week, coming soon, next week, coming soon. Never happened.
That's not true, Chris. What happened?
She did debut. And then what happened?
She goes, I'm going to go change back into Emma. She never hit the ring. She never even left the platform.
No. And then they've now since been running the return of Emma coming soon. So she pissed someone off real bad. So that's basically what's going on. And when she does come back, potentially at WrestleMania, potentially on SmackDown, what will probably happen is that she'll just go back to being like, you know, a low card, mid card
evil
heel.
Emma.
And then eventually the gimmick will die and they'll just let it and they'll just bury her. So in this analogy, evil Emma, Obamacare, ACA, the Acha is Emelina. Which for weeks, since the whole campaign, 7 years, we've been told we're going to replace and repeal Obamacare. And then they just delayed and fizzled. Now they just came out and said, we're just going to go back to the other one. And then they're just going to let that die. Not procedurally, but, you know, administratively, they're going to let Obamacare that's how they're going to try to kill it. It looks like. But who knows?
It's impossible to just kill it because it's private public. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is that is the perfect analogy.
Thank you.
For what you texted me this is like, yeah, well, I'm done. There's nothing to improve on.
Yeah.
And also, every time this comes up, it's like we don't need to come up with wrestling analogies anymore because Linda McMahon is in the cabinet.
Yes. And we will get to potentially another wrestler in the world of politics towards the end of this podcast. So while all this stuff was going on, while the big show was happening this week, what was President Trump doing? He was in a truck.
Okay, slow down here. On Thursday, March 24th, no, is that right? Thursday, March 23rd,
yeah.
President Trump hosted some truckers, and he wore a pin, and it said, I love trucks. And I don't care what side of the aisle you were on, that is a cool pin, and it's fun to honk the horn of a truck.
Yes, it is.
So I think that could unite the country.
Yeah. You know, there was a great man who liked to honk a truck horn before it came out. And it was Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Can we just play the theme song?
Of course.
Thing? Okay, great. Because it's somewhere between, it reminds me of the Roseanne theme song, which I know you're also a fan of.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
I feel bad comparing Diesel to Roseanne because Dan Connor was such a good man and Diesel is such a shit man.
Yeah, it's fucking fake though, so that's why Diesel exists. But Diesel was not involved. The first thing that came to my mind with Trump in a truck, another debacle being piloted with an 18-wheeler, was from WCW's Uncensored 95. It's the King of the Road Knock between the Blacktop Bully, who was Barry Darso. He was also Smash in the the tag team that the New Day just beat their record, and he was also the Repo Man.
Oh, okay.
A lot of gimmicks.
Not Demolition.
No, Demolition. Yeah, okay, Smash. Demolition. He was Smash and Demolition.
Okay.
I had Road Warriors, King of the Road.
Have you ever seen King of the Road 95?
I flipped through it.
Is it as bad as everyone says?
Yeah, because apparently it was good when they were filming it and driving around Atlanta in an 18-wheeler with a cage on the back where these two men are wrestling, and then they have to both want to win you have to honk the horn to win the match. They both bladed, which was at that point against policy of WCW. They had to edit around it, and they were both fired right after this aired. They were like, yeah, that was a debacle. You're fired.
God.
And then Dustin Rhodes went on to become Goldust, one of the important parts of the Attitude Era. So that was the last truck-related thing. I didn't feel like comparing it to, because that was a debacle. That's what this whole big show was. I didn't want to compare it to, say, Stone Cold driving the beer truck.
No.
That's a success. If Trump had piloted his healthcare with an 18-wheeler, then we would be making Stone Cold references.
He should have pitched it within the truck bed. He should have drove it to the Capitol and honked the horn. Laid on the horn until they voted.
Until they come out. Paulie, come on out.
All right, so that was something that you sent me this morning, something I sent you yesterday.
Yes.
That you ran with a lot further is Up Rocks ran a fantastic little recap. The recap, Joey Ryan finally becomes a real-life supervillain in a Japanese anal explosion match. Fine, good, whatever. You scroll down, they have Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. So this was at in Japan, Dramatic Dream Team, DDT Wrestling, their 20th anniversary show. And, okay.
There's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot here. And I you know, maybe we'll link, I think there is a video of this promo, but it's basically that, they introduce the new president of DDT Wrestling, Donald Trump, obviously.
Yes.
And he has an international PowerPoint presentation where he goes over, you know.
You made me watch it before we started recording. It's very fun.
It's very fun. We will link this because it is great. But it goes into his finishers as Donald Trump, and that he's the eye and the seal of the United States, big ascension reference. And that, you know, DDT wrestlers are protected not by him, but by a force even greater than him, a referee named Matsui.
Mm-hmm.
His two big taboos, Matsui, are sexual jokes and sexual wrestling. And if you do that, you're going to be fired in DDT.
So the two guys wrestling is...
Don Shoko Dino, who is the world's strongest gay wrestler. I was quoting directly from this.
Oh, I understand.
And Joey Ryan, the world's strongest penis fighter.
Joey Ryan is well known in internet circles because he's sponsored by YouPorn.
Yes.
And one of his finishers, if not his finisher, is like a penis flip.
Yes. Anything holds a man, woman, or inflatable doll, or holds his crotch, and then he flips them over and they do a flip.
He's also crossed over into some fun stuff. There was an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race a few years ago where they had a wrestling part and Joey Ryan was on.
He's also in Max Landis's
Wrestling is not wrestling. Okay,
so you know Joey Ryan.
If you're listening to the show, you probably know Joey Ryan. If not, he's probably the one person you saw in Deadspin that is not WWE affiliated.
Yeah, he's up there because he's also Lucha Underground. So Donald Trump does a SWOT analysis, which is strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat. Like, it's a business school thing. So Donald Trump does not know what a SWOT analysis is. But DDT's Donald Trump realizes that the world analysis has anal in it. So he realizes this has to be an anal explosion match. Because anal stands for All Nations Anal Love. Which I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, cool. So it's an anal explosion match where the supervillain part of the UpRocks article is that Joey Ryan kidnapped Dino's friend. And in 20 minutes, if Dino doesn't beat him... the friends will have an exploding anus. You still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this match, there was the U-porn plex, the penis plex, a lip lock where Dino kisses Joey Ryan until he's too weak to continue. The Donshuku driver where he pulls a pair of his trunks over Joey Ryan's head and then does a pile driver into the mat. Real painful move. At one point, Trump and Matsui are trading chops and then they decide to make out. And then once... Dino actually wins the match, he just says, you know what, let's let that guy's, my friend's anus explode anyway, and then two men in suits light firecrackers in the guy's butt.
What is the political analogy of this? There isn't. It's fun. You should watch wrestling.
Yeah, and then after that, there's a screenshot of a naked DDT wrestler, and it says, there can be no peace on earth without pro wrestling, which I think is basically what we've been trying to say this whole time.
Are they going to sell that as a t-shirt or a poster or something? Because that's perfect.
Yeah, I think
that still is perfect.
Yeah.
So that's probably the best thing that happened in wrestling this week.
That's up there, yeah.
The saddest thing that happened in wrestling this week that wasn't in-ring was Paige's / someone that had a lot of Paige photos hack. Was it Paige that was hacked?
It's unclear.
Paige got hacked, let's just say, because she's the one that matters.
Yeah, so a bunch of her nude photos and a couple sex tape clips leaked to the internet.
And that's not cool.
No, it's not cool. In the clips were former WWE talent Brad Maddox and...
current WrestleMania host Xavier Woods.
Well, a guy who looks a lot like Xavier Woods, because the lighting is bad.
So that's maybe one of the reasons why Xavier and the New Day weren't in ring this week on Raw and was just in a backstage segment.
And the segment did start with them standing around sternly going, is there something you want to tell us, Xavier? And then awkward silence and then right into their WrestleMania promo. It's also why there's a rumor that what we've been talking about, Hulk Hogan making his return, might not be happening because they don't like having sex tape.
So things this has come up a lot in the past few days. We've talked about Paige. If you listen to the show, you know who Paige is. If you don't know who Paige is, you might know who Paige is because Dwayne The Rock Johnson is producing a movie about Paige right now. They're in production for this movie. So if we mention people's sexiest man alive and the highest grossing movie star in the world, we figure you know it. Anyways, moving on. Hogan didn't get in trouble for the sex tape. People forget this. The sex tape came out, and it was years, and he was fine. Yes. He literally hosted WrestleMania 30, and the sex tape was already released.
Yeah, right at the at the Silverdome.
It was the slurs that came out years later. Do not equate Paige's sex tape. In fact, it's the opposite. When you have sex with somebody of the opposite race consensually, that's the opposite of Hogan's slur on a sex tape. It's not really the opposite, but you see what I mean. People forget that. Yes. That's why Hogan's not in the company. Hogan was still in the Hall of Fame. Hogan was still in
the
merchandise.
The sex tape thing wasn't a thing. I think at this point, they're not equating and saying it's as bad.
No.
It's the same thing. And we're not either. I think it's just clear that they don't want anything, any stories that link the two things. We're on the road to WrestleMania. It's bad for business.
A lot of roadblocks is what I'm saying. So I do think this will play into Hogan's return. I don't necessarily think it's completely out of the window. I think the public sentiment for Paige is very high right now. If anything, Paige is that looks the most sympathetic she's looked in a long time.
Yes.
So overall, this could be a good thing for Paige. Is that fair to say?
I'm trying
to put a silver lining.
I know. I think the only problem is that she's probably out of the company when she's not hurt anyway, or when her contract ends, and this will just be another blip on a kind of unfortunate story of her life.
Yeah. Another reason why Raw and SmackDown were not that good this week is no more Ronaldo, the SmackDown announcer, the hands down the best announcer in the company.
Yes.
And then I think Corey's number two.
Yeah.
And then JBL's number three because JBL doesn't really give a fuck.
Yes. Unfortunately, the rumored reason is that JBL's also a piece of garbage.
Listen, just because you stalk the border and throw out Eddie Guerrero and people, and just because you do an IRL Nazi walk in Germany and salute Hitler doesn't necessarily make you a Fox Business analyst. But JBL happens to be both.
But those things were kayfabe. Like, the non-kayfabe stuff is a lot closer to the anal explosion match, unfortunately. So there's some, you know, he's kind of he had been tweeting about Mauro. There was the kind of blizzard that wasn't a week ago. Mm-hmm. Mauro missed SmackDown, but this is a Carney business. And they're like, oh, you should have made the town, brother. Like, you should drive through the snow and risk your life. But he was silent on Twitter until yesterday where he said, my doctor advised against it. I just want to thank everyone for their kind of thoughts and prayers. Mauro Ranallo has been open that he has bipolar disorder and that it's something he struggled with for a long time. And it seems that he's had kind of an episode and he's, you know, dealing with that now. So that's kind of, one of the sad things with announcers this week. Not the only one, unfortunately, either, as good old JR's wife died. So
it's a really sad week.
Yeah.
And how it relates to politics is actually it's really simple. Mauro Ranallo does all the heavy lifting on SmackDown, which allows JBL to say stuff he probably shouldn't say that's political. Without Mauro there, he's got to do some more work. That's not happening right now. And so it was a really boring political week for the two mainstream shows.
Yes. I think the on-screen, like on regular broadcast highlight WWE this week and most of the last year is The Miz.
Yeah, for the last probably 18 months.
Yeah. Ever since.
No, that's a lie. Since a year because of WrestleMania when he got the belt.
Yes. And then over the summer when he started going after Daniel Bryan. So this week, in the build up to this mixed tag between Miz and his wife Maurice and John
real
Cena.
Wife Maurice.
And John Cena and his real life girlfriend. Well, that's what they're calling the question is whether or not it's a real relationship or a reality show one. They did Total Bella Bullshit where they did really bad, intentionally bad impersonations.
But it crossed over into, we actually saw that Maurice has range.
She can play Nikki and Brie.
No, she actually had more facial expressions than she ever showcased on that show that she is also on, Total Divas.
Yeah.
It was legit good.
There was funny. It was basically every joke of that Nikki thinks she's getting proposed to, and then Cena, it's a misdirection. So he got her a diamond. Dallas Page yoga DVD, which is my favorite.
I love it. I'm going to pop the question. And then he had a balloon that had question mark.
I mean, it's very Mad TV, but it was solid for SmackDown.
It's a really bad week for wrestling is what we're trying to say here. Tag team, our new tag team, Usos are tag team champs. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah, that was a good match.
I guess it's fun to just point out that American Alpha lost just because.
Yeah.
It was a bad week.
Tyler Breeze was in drag.
That was great.
I mean, your two loves of wrestling and drag, when they come together,
that is pretty
good. I feel like that was a pretty good week for you. I'll just get in one little bit of actual wrestling that was good this week. No, like, you have to seek this out. But Neville and Mustafa Ali on 205 Live had the first, like, real cruiserweight match where they were doing some pretty crazy shit.
So who called that? Because doesn't Mauro...
Graves and Phillips, which is a good team from NXT.
Okay, so that's who they replaced Mauro with. Because doesn't he usually call?
Okay. Tom Phillips has been moved up from the fourth seat on SmackDown. And also on that match, it had Aries because he'll be facing Neville at WrestleMania. So they had a three-man booth. But it was actually a really good match. I would check that one out. But yeah, the on-screen just wasn't that great, which is surprising since we are 9 days out from the ultimate thrill ride.
I disagree. It should not be surprising because we are 9 days out from the ultimate thrill ride. This is the trend. This happens every single time. Our SummerSlam, the shows right before SummerSlam are going to be fantastic because that's the WrestleMania for assholes like us. Yeah. We got to stop calling each other smarks and marks and just we're assholes.
Okay.
Just let's own it. Assholes like us. And this is how it's going to be every single time. That being said, some interesting stuff happened not in the ring or on official cable programming, but YouTube programming.
Yes. So the big YouTube programming one was Southpaw Regional Wrestling, a 4-part miniseries commercial for KFC Georgia Gold that lovingly parodied a Southern wrestling promotion from the 80s, kind of spun out of Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson's podcasts and stuff that they do, their characters, but then got Cena involved,
Jericho,
Rusev, Lana, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, Ascension, a lot of people getting involved in this, and it's a lot of fun, and you really don't need to. It's like, it's a good parody in the sense that it's funny even if you don't know what it's lovingly taking apart.
My absolute favorite part is the fake real Ric Flair commercial.
Yes.
That a Ric Flair impersonator will be signing autographs at the KFC.
Yeah, and he's not pictured, but it's definitely Ric Flair. And my favorite is Cena doing a Ron Burgundy.
Sure.
And saying non sequiturs like, I miss my father, and don't you all hear crying in your head all the time? Like, things like that.
So it's fun.
It's fun. It's a good time. 30 minutes, and it shows a lot of the talent, what they can actually do when they're, you know,
so what you're saying is John Cena has some charisma and potentially has a career outside of wrestling?
I think this Johnny kid is going to be A-okay.
Something that's probably not going to happen?
No, not going to happen. There were rumors that the WWE was looking to buying Ring of Honor, which is owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, ran out of Baltimore. Kind of like the distant second and third. Right,
sure,
with
sure.
TNA. It does have TV, but it's limited. Possibly looking into buying them once again, like happened last year when they were rumored to buy TNA for the tape library. A lot of guys came up in Ring of Honor. Your Sami Zayn's and Owens and Seth Rollins and stuff.
Here's a quick question. Is the only reason this is coming up now because the Hardys re-signed with Ring of Honor or signed with Ring of Honor so they can, in theory, get them for Mania? So that's why this is on the table right now? Or is
it looked like maybe that's part of why the rumor... It's also happening because some of the guys who did not re-sign, they're kind of imploding Ring of Honor.
Okay.
And some guys who are leaving haven't been signing because late last year, early this year, there was rumors that Ring of Honor had sent like cease and desist that the WWE was contract tampering, that these guys had Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly had like not compete, and that they were tampering. So they're not touching those guys until.
So is it fair to say that this is as effective as the Never Trump movement was in 2016?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Something that's blatantly political and blatantly wrestling related is Kane. It's running Kane. For mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
Yeah, Glenn Jacobs, the devil's favorite demon, running for mayor. Libertarian Kane. You know, he's at the end of his wrestling career, and I think it's a good move. And we've seen that you can be president and be a wrestler in this country. So go, Kane, go.
Do you think he's got a shot? Seriously.
I don't know the demographics of Knox County, Tennessee. It's Knoxville, but it's also the county, so it's... Who
it's
knows?
Small enough where he could literally go door to door and hit everybody. It's
with a tombstone pile driver.
We're not going to top that in any way whatsoever. Here's the most interesting story of the week. There's only one very small wrestling connection. There was an episode of Fresh Air this week all about this article from the New Yorker. And it's about Robert Mercer. You read the article. I listened to the interview. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is it's debatable that without Robert Mercer, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump is still only just WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump and not President Trump.
True.
Robert Mercer might be Trump's money mark.
So I like where you're going with this. I think there is a wrestling connection here. I don't know if he's a money mark only because my understanding of that is that's the kind of guy, as in this, so there's a quote in this article and kind of illustrate what a money mark would be. So wealthy political donors sometimes make easy marks for campaign operatives. Patrick Cattle, the former pollster, told me, "These people who get so rich by running businesses get so taken in when it comes to politics. They're just sheep. The consultants suck it out of them. A lot of them are surrounded by palace guards, but that's not true of the Mercers."
I understand that. Since Trump... Okay, so these are the people that were like, you got to get rid of certain people. You got to bring in Kellyanne Conway.
Mm-hmm.
You need a new campaign manager. Maybe not the guy that's hanging out with Russia 24/7. Mm-hmm. Rusev is too close to the campaign. So these are the people that got rid of Manafort, you know? Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. They won. But these people were not Trump people the whole time. Their guy was Cruz. Yeah. They switched parties. Money mark, number one. Number two, they didn't get all the appointments that they wanted in the cabinet. Right. So that's money mark number three, two, whatever. I should stop counting at this point because nothing matters. Finally, Trump has no alliances or allegiances to anyone for anything. Today proves that.
Yeah. The only thing I would say on that, and I don't know if they went into it in the Fresh Air episode, but my takeaway from this New Yorker piece was that, you know, they looked at, you know, Mercer and his family. They kind of looked at it like a game theory thing of like, all right, we hate both. We hate the Republican establishment more than we hate the, not more than we hate the Democrats. And we're like super libertarians. How do we tear down the system? And Trump was the best way to do that.
Not completely wrong, but the point of it was more, we hate the Clintons so much, less we hate these. And now that they've defeated the Clintons.
Yeah, it's see what they're, that was also part of it, is that no one really knows what Mercer feels about politics because he's kind of just a whack job.
Yeah.
And a weirdo. Was one wrestling connection in this was that
this is the best
that the Mercers, which we definitely talked about this when it happened, but the Mercers throw an annual costume party in Long Island on their like estate. And at last year's, Peter Thiel dressed up as Hulk Hogan. And Thiel was the man who bankrolled the lawsuit against Gawker.
Yeah.
For outing him.
So that's perfect. That's everything. We've done it. That article is called "The Reclusive Hedge Fund Tycoon Behind the Trump Presidency: How Robert Mercer Exploited America's Populist Insurgency" by Jane Meyer. I think it's a fascinating everything.
Yeah.
The final point for this episode, besides mania predictions and stuff like that, the "It's Still Real to Me" final thought.
Alternative fact:
still real to me, damn it!
Everyone says Trump is a master negotiator. He is not. Chris and I wrote a book about this. It's called "The Donald: How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling." He's a figurehead. He's a mascot. Trump is a master negotiator the same way Hulk Hogan is a great wrestler. They're not. It's the idea. He bankrupted a casino. That's hard to do. He's not good at his job. A lot of people don't know this. Without getting a bailout from all of his lenders in the late 80s, early 90s, when he proved to them that his name was more valuable than throwing him into essentially a debtor's prison, that's when he started just merchandising everything. He is not good at business. Today proves that. Everything he's ever done proves that. People don't realize that because he's got his name in big gold letters. By the way, he doesn't own these buildings. He's leasing them for the most part. No one talks about that. Hogan is a great wrestler. No, he's not. He pumps up the best. He sells the most merch. He's shit. Piper's still a better wrestler. Bret Hart's a better wrestler. That doesn't matter, though. Perception is everything. So that was one little takeaway I had from today, because I was watching, I think I watch a lot more cable news than you.
Since I watch none, yeah. You watch.
So we have it in the office, so CNN's on 24/7. And the thing that I've noticed in the last 36 hours, every single analyst, Trump's a master negotiator. He's going to get this stuff. Trump is so good at business. He's good. He knows deals. No, he doesn't.
That's the difference between, I think, reading news online and Twitter and watching cable news, because everybody online is like, hey guys, you know he's really bad at deals, right? Like, he's been bad at deals his whole life.
Sure, but that's more of a curated Twitter feed of yours. So I don't think that's fair. This is not crazy fringe. This is CNN.
No,
even in the New York Times.
The fake news, I understand.
All right, we should close there, but we're not going to. Every week for the last few weeks, we've talked about, will Trump appear? Will Hogan appear? Mania predictions. We'll go through the whole card next week. But
yes.
Number one, Trump. For the first time, I'm feeling not good about this. I think if he passed this today, he's going to show up.
Yeah, he's coming off an L, and there's not going to... I mean, there's probably not enough time to get this going before next week.
I don't see it happening.
Recess is going to be after... It's like after WrestleMania, mm-hmm. So they're going to be trying to get something done, but who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, I don't think if it's in the cards now, if they couldn't get Shaq, I don't know if they're going to be able to get their most famous Hall of Famer.
We'll get to Shaq in a minute. Hogan, now with the new sex tape, we both predicted Hogan would be back.
Yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, like, does he... I think they look at it as, like, to have Hogan come out there unannounced in, like, a surprise, does that do anything for their number? No. Because, like, the way it is now, nobody's going to, like, oh, did you see on Twitter that Hulk Hogan's there? I'll go subscribe to the network. Like, that's not going to happen. So I don't think it... And dealing with Hogan and having to pay him is not worth the headache. I think this is an excuse they can use and go, well, you know, brother, it's, like, too much with the sex tape.
So you don't think that they're going to, like, completely lean into the swerve and have Xavier and Hogan come out together and go, we got something in common?
We're both great wrestlers. I mean, that'd be amazing.
It's not going to happen anymore.
I think Hogan's done. I think the New Day's
done forever.
No. I mean, he'll come back when they can merchandise it.
Yeah, the whole
better.
Introduce the Silverdome again next year in New Orleans.
Yeah, that'll be a good anniversary of that for him.
Batista still? Yes or no?
No, that's not happening.
Okay, and then finally, I think I know who's going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
Who do you think it's going to be?
Mojo.
I'm going Brown Strongman.
Now, Big Strongman was clearly the biggest strongman, but no Shaq, and that means no outside celebrity or athlete.
Yeah.
Who does Mojo have?
Well, Gronk was there
exactly
on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, there you go. He's the link. He brings it in, and then you could do a football player last year, football player this year with Mojo. That's the most boring Mania prediction possible.
And therefore, that'll happen.